Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the marriage program on this Saturday morning. My name is Ibrahim Daya and keeping you company up until 10 a.m. inshallah. First we look at the nikah announcement, the recap of the nikah announcements. As always we begin with the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أَعْلِنُوا النِّكَاحَ وَجَعَلُوهُ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ. Announce the nikahs and perform them in the masjids. The nikah of Fuad bin Gharwia to Amara Suleiman. This nikah taking place today after Asr Salah. And the venue for this nikah is Abu Bakr Siddiq Masjid in Erasmia. Then the nikah of Muhammad Bayat to Humaira Bulbulia. This nikah taking place after Asr Salah at the Nurul Islam Masjid. That is today, the 24th of Feb, after Asr Salah, and the venue is the Nurul Islam Masjid. And the nikah of Muaz Umar to Halima Peer. This nikah taking place on the 24th of February after Asr Salah at the Abu Bakr Siddiq Masjid. And the nikah of Sabir Muhammad to Raisa Chunara. This nikah taking place after Maghrib Salah. The venue is the Azadville Jamia Masjid. The nikah of Hashim Tayyob to Fadila Gutta. This nikah taking place at 4 p.m. And the venue for this nikah is the Houghton Masjid, or rather the West Street Houghton Masjid. The nikah of Muhammad Suhail Rangila to Zakira Suleiman. This nikah taking place after Asr Salah. The venue is the Mayfair Jummah Masjid. And the nikah of Muhsin Hansrod to Radia Minti. This nikah taking place at 3:30 p.m. The venue is the Klagstorp Jamia Masjid. The nikah of Muhammad Mullah to Nasiha Saluji. This nikah taking place tomorrow, the 25th of February at 11:30 a.m. The venue is Baytun Noor Masjid in Mayfair. And the nikah of Hafiz Imtiaz Mubin to Hafiza Naima Bayat. This nikah taking place on the 25th of February before Dhuhr Salah. That is 25th of February before Dhuhr Salah. The venue is Masjid al-Salihin in Sherwood. And the nikah of Taha Mullah, the son of Ahmed Ghulam Hussein and Rukaya of Newcastle, to Samira Esak Ali, the daughter of Farouk and Aisha of Peter Maritzburg. This nikah taking place on the 25th of February after Dhuhr Salah. The venue is Masjid al-Taqwa in Peter Maritzburg. The nikah of Taha Mullah to Samira Esak Ali, nikah taking place after Dhuhr Salah, tomorrow after Dhuhr Salah. And the venue is Masjid al-Taqwa in Peter Maritzburg. And lastly, the nikah of Maulana Muhammad Ganshi, the son of Rashida and the late Maulana Suleiman Ganshi, to Radia Mayat, the daughter of Amin Mayat and Nazreen Suleiman, that is the principal of Lanajia Muslim School. This nikah will be taking place at Masjid Ashraf here in Lanajia after Asr Salah, and Salah will be at about 6 p.m. So thereafter this nikah will take place inshallah. That is the nikah of Maulana Muhammad Ganshi to Radia Mayat, and this nikah taking place after Asr Salah at Masjid Ashraf in Lanajia. The Salah will be performed at 6 p.m. Nikah taking place thereafter, inshallah. And with that, we do come to the end of the nikah announcements. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is our dua to all those that are married, all those that are getting married as well, that Allah keep their marriages filled with happiness, with barakah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them pious offspring. We take a short break. When we come back, we continue with the program. During this week, I picked up on an article that I will share with you this morning. And it was on one of these sites that give marriage advice, and the It said there, you know, conquering marriage boredom. Conquering marriage boredom. And they then gave some advices, and there was something that they had some things that they had mentioned in this article. So basically, you know, once you've moved past that honeymoon phase and you've settled into that comfortable lifestyle with your spouse, you know, you revel at each other's company and companionship. But dare we say it, you know, life is getting a little bit boring. And this is a problem that researchers at the Stony Brook University found in a study on boredom in marriages. In fact, they concluded that this boredom then leads to a decline in marital satisfaction. Now, many couples experience this marriage boredom at some point. You know, it seems to be a natural outgrowth of a stable relationship. And in particular, once children come along, routine and regularity, this becomes necessary in a person's life. So gone are the days where the couple could just head out to a spur of the moment, a long or short drive. Now, whenever you want to plan something, whenever you want to do something, you know, there's diaper, there's your nappy bags, there's detailed plannings are must to pull off anything, whether it be even just going to for supper, going to dinner at your local restaurant. This requires a careful preparation, whether it be around the nap time or the feeding times or exams or extracurricular activities. Now, the key to re-establishing some kind of fun and excitement in your relationship, it doesn't require much money or even time. Something busy couples today are often short of. But it does call for a little planning. There are a couple of ideas that you can look at to get you started, to bring back that bit of excitement in the marriage. Now, the first one that they give is that, you know, kids are often considered part of the reason for this marriage boredom, but in fact, they can help spouses see each other in a new light. Parenting, when bringing up their child, it doesn't only, you know, it reveals not only more about a person's character, but also their personal history, their likes and dislikes, you know, whether that's a favorite childhood toy or a game that they played with their own parents when they were young. So as you are bringing up this child and you are playing with them and you are sharing moments with them, it sort of brings back memories of your childhood, what type of games you would play or what type of toys you really enjoyed. So when you can use this type of knowledge to your advantage, you know, just surprise your spouse on one evening and make some time alone and, you know, just maybe even play that game that they really liked, whether it was Pac-Man or whether it was Snakes and Ladders or something. You can use this to bond with each other. You have this new knowledge of your partner. You have this new knowledge. You can use it to your advantage because maybe before that you didn't even, you know, speak about it. You didn't even have a conversation about it. But now because you are bringing up your child, memories of your childhood are going to come up. What is it that you liked when you were a child? So at times it's no problem, you know, going back into those memories and reliving those memories as well. So that is one point that a person can do, or one thing that one idea that a couple can do in order to bring back that excitement in the marriage. And another thing that they mention is, you know, start eating together. Now, we know that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you know, people should eat together for the blessing is associated with the company. Now, you'll find that people have said that, you know, when they do this type of research, and that when families eat together, everyone's nutrition improves along with the communication between family members. So one thing that you can do is, you know, make sure that at least one meal a day. At times during the day, maybe that the lunch, the father is at work or the mother is busy as well, or the children are still coming home from school, but one meal a day where you are eating together as a family. And while this, you know, it won't be possible every day, or it won't be possible for every meal, but make it a priority at least once a day, or, you know, just once a week if it's that difficult. But I think once a day would be possible, then and whatever meal it is, if lunch is too difficult, or if supper is too difficult, dinner is too difficult, then maybe it should be breakfast, or whatever meal you would choose that you would think would be comfortable for your family to sit and eat together. There will be barakah in that, and it will bring families closer, and people will then look forward to it. Another one point that they give you, and the one tip that they give you, and they say that, you know what, engage in some halal dating. Now, if you were Muslim born and you were raised living in Western countries, or living in majority non-Muslim countries, and you've gone to schools like this, you've probably grown up watching or regularly witnessing, you know, couples date. And this is something that is common in the teenagers' lives, and you'll find it if you've been to a non-Muslim school, or if you've been to the schools here, you'll find that even in school, it's something of the norm. In the high schools and all of this here, you'll see it on the television shows, in novels and all of that. But and it's part of the working world as well, where you'll find sometimes people would date one another. But for Muslims, marriage is the ultimate dating opportunity. That before that, it was not halal, it was not permissible for you. But once a person is married and now they have a spouse, this is the ultimate dating opportunity. And when I say that, what does it mean? It means that, you know what, look forward to that. Take out a day in your week or a day in your month where you are going to go out on basically what we would call a date, you know, and you'll look forward to it. You'll make sure that you are dressed appropriate for it. On that day, if you have children, you would find a babysitter or someone to look after the children. If you cannot find a babysitter, then nanny or daddy or someone will be available to look after that child for that day. And then go out on a nice date, as we would say, where it's just you and your partner going to a restaurant and do all those stuff that was like off limits before marriage, but are now totally halal with your spouse today. So this also just increases, or it brings a bit of excitement back into the marriage. Go there, and how you know, people would talk about these you know, when people want to pick up a girl and they have these pickup lines and all of that. But you can then express that towards your wife, that, you know, you're looking so beautiful, or this, or whatever it is. This brings back a bit of excitement in that marriage as well. So these are just ideas that we are looking at. And if you do have any ideas, and if you have something that you have been doing that brings the excitement back in that marriage, you can WhatsApp us on 072-786-1548. Share with us your thoughts, and you can also SMS us on 488-55. And one of the other things, and this is probably one of the last ideas that I'll share with you this morning, is that if you have the opportunity, then travel together. Now, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu once said that you would only truly know a person, or if you really want to know a person, you must travel with them, do business with them, or be their neighbor. So you already live with this person, you live with your spouse, and you deal with money issues regularly. But the third one as well, to get to know your spouse and to learn your spouse, would be to travel. Now, when we say travel, it doesn't mean that you got to go to a fancy trip across the world, or you got to, you know, go for a 3-week holiday traveling together. But even if it's just a day trip, you know, make time to check out a new destination in your area, or a new destination or something, one of the natural wonders in your area, or a new point of interest in the area that you are living in, or if there's a bit of an Islamic center in that in a neighboring town, or something of some interest. So seeing these new sites together is an adventure that will add excitement into your relationship. So like we said earlier, that many studies say that, you know what, a lot of these marriages then, or this boredom in the marriages, leads to a decline in marital satisfaction. So you need to spice it up a bit. You need to bring back some excitement in that marriage. And these are some of the things that you can use in order to bring that to bring back that excitement in the marriage. whatever it may be, spending time together, being good to one another. If you know that your spouse has had a difficult day, or if they're feeling tired for that day, to give them a massage as well. That would be something exciting to be. And I see that is what one of the listeners are saying. In order to de-stress, they are able to talk, chat, and this is the way that they bond with one another. So these are some of the things that you can do in order to bring back the spice, or bring back that excitement in the marriage. See, just like in any field that you are in, whether it's, if you look at it in your sporting field, or whether you look at it in your business, or in the association that you are working in, if you're coming in and you're just doing the same thing every day, you're doing the same thing every day, a person can get bored, a person then can get tired. But it's when you start looking for things to keep you interested, when you look at new things that you can experience, that is what keeps, that keeps you a bit alive and keeps that excitement going. So the same thing in the marriage. Yes, a routine will come, especially when the kids are there. You fall into this routine, you fall into this regularity, and at times it's also necessary as well. You cannot just be living this way and that way, but that doesn't mean that you totally forget about bringing excitement and happiness, or bringing something new into that marriage, something that the husband and the wife can look forward to. So that is the topic of discussion for this morning. And you can still send in some of your thoughts, and we will share it with the listeners as they come through. 27 minutes past the hour of 9 here on the Marriage Program. We take a short break. When we come back, we will be listening to a 3-minute clip by Mufti Yusuf Musaji. And in this clip as well, he speaks about keeping that spark alive in the marriage.
The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam continuously throughout his life showed this affectionate touch. He had a pet name for his wives. Ummul Mu'minin Sayyida Aisha speaks about the fact that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would refer to her as Ya Humaira, or the one with pink cheeks. That was a pet name that he had for her. It just is so endearing. It just creates such a lovely, compassionate atmosphere in the home. Not that you say the children's mother. That is how we tend to refer to our wives at times. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would continuously show these types of gestures. Meaning, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha speaks about the fact that she was with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she says that he gave me a utensil. I drank from it. After I drank from it, I gave it back to him. He then held the glass in his hand, and he looked for the point where I had put my lips, and he put his lips on that very point. And she says, "Wa'ana haidun," I was a menstruating lady, yet he did this. It's not just about eating together, but it's about eating from the same food. When this type of exchange days, then you can imagine the compassion, the love that couple will experience. And the Qayyim states that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would comb his own hair sometimes, and sometimes his wives would comb his hair. These are the type of things that we take for granted. Sayyida Aisha speaks about the fact that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam would recline and he would place his head on her lap. When last have you reclined and put your head on your wife's lap? Children will see what you do and will listen to what you say. So be the person you'd like them to be. We complain about the divorce rate being out, but yet in our own marriages we don't show them the perfect example. No matter how much you tell them, do as I say and don't do as I do, they will inevitably follow your example. Display those acts of compassion in front of your children. You don't have to show your lust, but show your compassion, and this goes a long way in creating that loving atmosphere in the home. And that is what we need. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would enter into the home, then the honorable wives of Ummahat al-Mu'mineen say that kana yabda'u bisiwak. Before you enter into the house, what would you do? You'd begin with miswak. Now you can then work it out that if he was going to clean his mouth before he comes into the house, what is that for? That is simply because of the close proximity, the physical exchanges that he was going to have with his wives. And that is what is lacking. That it seems as though we take, our relationship with our wives to be like playing golf, that you need to get the ball in the hole in the least number of strokes. So that is what we brought it down to. That it's all business, all to the point, that we don't invest in our relationships. We need to continuously show that physical touch. And that is proven from the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
That was Mufti Yusuf Musaji speaking about keeping the spark alive in that marriage. And when we look into the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, no doubt we will find the perfect example and the way that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had dealt with the mother of the believers, with the wives of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We'll find the perfect example, and many of them narrate this way, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would do these certain things to keep that romance and to keep that love between him and the spouses. 25 minutes to 10, we've taken a short break. When we come back, we will be joined by Idris Khamisa. Welcome back to the marriage program on Radio Islam International on this Saturday morning. And we do have on the line with us Idris Khamisa. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My most beloved Maulana Sheikh, how are you?
Alhamdulillah. And yourself, Idris bhai?
Very well, alhamdulillah.
Always good to have you on the program, sharing with us your advices.
No, alhamdulillah, it's good to be here, inshallah. If what we are saying impacts on our lives first and the lives of other people, then alhamdulillah, Allah is merciful.
Despite the topic that you've chosen to speak about this morning, it's a very interesting topic. We find we're living in a time where many people, go through rough patches in their marriages, and then at times they go for counseling or marriage counseling or go to some therapist to help them through that problem. And what we should be looking at is that after you go through that counseling, what should a couple do?
Yes, I think that's a very critical point, right? But before that, the idea is that you must go for counseling. You know, everyone needs help, and you got to go with an open mind. And we've often husbands are reluctant to go. They tell the wife, you know what? I'm perfect, you got issues, I don't have issues, and so on and so forth. So there has to be that openness. And when they go for counseling, it's not about scoring points. You know, counselors in the main are very mature people. They're not here to look down upon anyone. They're here to help. And they do it in an atmosphere of forgiveness and to reconcile differences and to share with people possibilities. So I think what is important, what is very, very critical, that they don't go there to score points, and it was one. The second important issue is that as much as your experience might show that your husband appears to be incorrigible, is unlikely he's going to change, so you are wasting my time, he will not change. So I can understand your experience suggests that, but in the hands of a good counselor, inshallah, Allah will open the heart of that individual and he commits himself to make a change. Now, that's one aspect. Now, when they are there for counseling, when they are given some nasiha or advice, what do they do? And that is very, very important, because sometimes what happens is this, that they go for counseling and the situation appears to be calm, and then a day later the matters have gone worse. And why does that happen? What should be done? So that is something we need to answer.
Yes, it is. But just in the starting that you made that point, saying that it shouldn't be to score points, that if a couple are going through a rough patch or if they feel they need counseling, then it shouldn't be to score points and to say that I am right and she is wrong or I am right and he is wrong, but rather they should go in with that same goal, and that is that we both want to save the marriage, go in with that open mind, and in that way be ready to hear that, okay, I might be doing something wrong, this is where I can rectify myself, this is where I can correct myself, instead of just shifting the blame on the next person.
No, absolutely, and that's important, because we don't want people to have regrets. We don't want people to say, you know what, I should have given it a shot, I should have gone for the counseling, I should have taken the advice, because in the end, the most critical aspect is change behavior. The most important thing is, that you should change your behavior, to change your attitude, you change your value system. And that is something of fundamental, you know. And the whole thing is this, that, you know, a good counselor, sometimes, you know, you may go with a particular problem or issue to the counselor, but the counselor will tell you, Ben, you know what, there is a deeper issue here. It's the wound is just a manifestation of a deeper issue. And then they could help them, you know, and to deal with that. And this is quite fundamental, you know, understanding, you know. So we need to do that, inshallah. So I think the important thing is this, that, you know, you've got to go to openness. And now what is important is this. Once they go to the counselor, the critical thing is this. When they leave from there, they must make a commitment to say that they're going to make things work. Now, each person needs to look at what he needs to change, what she needs to change. Even if, for example, after you win for your sessions, you mustn't go in the car. You know, you're lucky I never told them about this, what you did. You're lucky I never told them this, that, and the other. Now, that becomes problematic. You go there and you say to yourself, well, you say, darling, assalamu alaikum, my baby, I love you, ma. Thank you so much for coming, and I'm going to make it work. And I realize what my faults are, and this is what I need to do. So take ownership of it. The moment what happens, that you leave from there, you start saying nasty things, you're going to exacerbate the situation. So this is the reason why it's important. And then you've got to understand that, you know, the healing process is not easy. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes the situation can be worse than when you first started off. But when you see that your husband or your spouse is making a genuine effort to change, say to the first, you know, darling, I love you. I know you are trying, and I'm here to support you.
That is true, it is by. And you know, just that commitment that once you leave that session, or once you leave the council, or rather the marriage council, and then to commit, you know, to fixing or to improving that marriage. And I would think that, you know, when couples do come in for counseling, it's a bit different, especially when there are two people both coming in at the same time, and it's a bit more slower pace, you know, to get that relationship back, to adapt to some of the changes that need to be made. So it needs a bit of time, it needs effort, and it's not just going to happen overnight. And of course, if things were said in or while they were in that marriage counseling, it might have hurt, but to look past that, and thereafter look to improve that marriage, and look at yourself first, of course, that, okay, I'm not going to look at what the next person is doing wrong, what my spouse is doing, but I'm going to look at myself first and how I can improve to better this relationship.
No, absolutely. In fact, Maulana, the thing is, there are two responses. The response of one person who was impulsive and he separated, and he much later regrets it. The other person says, oh my gosh, I'm so glad that my wife and I persevered, and now we don't even speak about the past. The past is like a little memory. It's no more something that is like, you know, gives us pain. We laugh about it now because, you know, we have gone beyond that. In fact, we have taken our relationship to another level. And it's not about putting a lesser plus on the relationship. And what you're saying is so important. You know, see, today, you know, we, because of instant gratification, we really want to, you know, give up quickly and so on and so forth. And it's important, you know, I say give it a chance. At least you can say that my wife and I tried everything humanly possible. So when you leave from the counselor, you renew your commitment. And you now, instead of being a speaker, you must start becoming a listener, telling your wife or your husband, darling, tell me exactly what you like me to do. And I make a commitment, as Allah is a witness to this, that I'm going to make it work. And inshallah, you must forgive me for my errors, the mistakes I made. Some of them have been aberrations. You must forgive me. And inshallah, we're going to make it work. And this home is going to rock, man. A baby is going to rock it. I'm going to be the love doctor, right? I'm the love doctor. I'm going to be romantic, caring. I'm not going to use snarling words, only purring words, like, hey, how's it, Babalina?
Yes, it's all about the mindset, Zizpa, and the way that you come out of there, you come out with that
positive attitude, and that should be then in the manner that you speak to them, in the manner that you address them, and the akhlaq and character that you show them. This would really show that you want to put the effort in the marriage. You want the marriage to better the marriage. Basically, it is. But I'm sure you have, you know, you've over the last few years, you've helped many couples, and you've done many of these this type of counseling. In your experience, at least, by dealing with these situations, what have you seen? What is the qualities that maybe couples need in order that couples need to have for the counseling to be successful?
You know, the whole thing is this. You know, if I look at all the numerous examples, I want to just share with you those couples that succeeded, that took the marriage to another level. They were prepared to introspect, reflect, and also look at themselves. And they also had this element of gratitude, showing gratitude to the partner for what they are, for what they have done for them and whatnot, you know. And when they see, when they are grateful for the positive things, it makes a big difference. Now, you look at those couples whose marriages did not work out. These were ones that only focus on the negativity. You know, none of us is perfect. No one is angelic. We are going to make a mistake. So I think the whole idea is to focus on the positive, work on the positive, and also see how you can, you know, change your weakness into a strength. It's going to work. And naturally, you know, there's no Jannah on this earth, but a happy marriage, you know, alhamdulillah, is beautiful. It's really, really nice. But as part of life, you're going to make mistakes, and we've got to make a commitment. Those couples who do not repeat their mistakes, those couples are very, very happy. And those couples that have a high self-esteem, they're very, very happy. Those couples that have a high emotional intelligence are able to deal with the marital issues with calmness and commitment, you know.
At least by when a person, or when a couple rather, come in for counseling and they discuss their matters, and it's all put out on the table, and the person assisting them gives advice. Thereafter, when they go back home, if one of the two don't practice on it or don't make an effort to change, then how can you then take that marriage forward? Should they return for another session, or how does it work in a situation like that?
No. Then they perhaps they need to go back to the person and seek help, so they have a greater understanding. I think the whole thing is to do what you call a lifestyle audit, to look at, you know, what do you do when you go home first? What should you be doing? So on and so forth. In other words, giving them baby steps to help them, you know, to do things. One of the abiding concerns of our sisters is that men are, you know, not romantic enough, they're not expressive about their love, so on and so forth. So then you give them some idea, you know, of the prophetic model, and you show them why it is important that they need to do this. And, you know, and in the end, if you persevere, inshallah, it make a difference. And remember, we are at different levels of maturity in our relationships, and in that way we can grow, you know.
It's true. Just looking into the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you'll find the perfect example in how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had dealt with his spouses, the way that he treated them, the day that he would be romantic to them as well. Aisha radiallahu anha says that when I would drink from a certain, or when I would drink from the cup, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make sure that he would drink from the same place where my lips touch. Now, we might think that to be something that is small, but it's
sorry,
sure
Ahmad.
It showed
how... I just lost you there. You know?
Oh, this one, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, G.
Yeah. I'm saying we just, you know, if you look into the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and how he had dealt with his wives and the way that he was romantic to them as well, there's one narration that Aisha radiallahu anha says that when I would drink from a cup, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make sure that his lips would drink from the same part which I drank from. And this was a way to show that he had loved her. And, you know, you want to show that connection between the husband and the wife. So it's small things like this as well that really show and really, you know, help a couple in moving forward.
Yeah, you see, that's a very good point. I mean, it's one thing, you know, to say I love my wife. But if your wife doesn't experience that love, if you're not expressed it to her, then what's the use of what's in your heart, you see? It must manifest in expression, in articulation. and something palpable. So these are fundamental things. And our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the most eloquent example of that, the way he treated his wives, how he dealt with the conflictual situation, how they spoke to him. And alhamdulillah, you know, there are so many examples. I mean, there's one example that, I can talk about also. One day when Bibi Aisha was lying close to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and she narrates that she really was enjoying this closeness to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gently said to her, "Do you mind if I get up?" And he was going to read Qiyamul Layl, you know. And she said to him, words to this effect, "As much as I love my closeness to you, but I really love what you love." How beautiful is that? You know, so the whole idea is, it's the Prophet of Allah, and yet you found on the very mundane human level, he operated and dealt with the wives in such a beautiful way that there are lessons for us to learn, and we don't have to go to any other books besides looking at that particular model, inshallah.
Inshallah. Yes, when you study the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you look at the way that he dealt with people, with children, with his wives as well, you'll find the perfect example. It is by way of come towards the end of the program. Any closing comments from your side?
No, my closing comment is this. If you've got the challenges in your marriage, go and see a counselor. There are many people doing sterling work, you know, throughout the world. May Allah bless them all. And seek their help. Go with an open heart. Learn to forgive. And whilst you're going there, instead of writing down the negatives, write down all the positives. You'll have much more positive things to write. May Allah bless you. And salams to all of you. And please look after your shushu babalina.
Jazakallah khair, and it is by for joining us on the show.